All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5, powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. It's Cyber Monday, I guess. It's probably Blubber Monday, too, as most of you are still recovering from the food coma that you put on for the last 4 or 5 days, depending on how much time you had to sit at the dinner table and devour leftovers. But we are glad you are with us. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on The Usual Suspects, and hopefully you'll fasten your seatbelts and take us along for the ride this afternoon as we are coming to you live from Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue, right here on the corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. Great place, great food, great drinks, and a great environment and atmosphere. If you want to stop by and get some great Cajun food, some daiquiris, and hang out, we'll be here till 4, and the Blitz will be here until 7.
Yeah, are you going to be doing any cybering today? You're going to be cybering a lot?
No.
No?
Don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
No. Just like the Black Friday. I didn't indulge in that either.
You didn't, no?
Thankfully, no. Because I saw some of the fights and some of the things that was going on. That's the greatest part about it, when people just take it far too seriously.
I went online and did some shopping this weekend for some clothes, but I didn't wait until today. I just decided whatever. It was still 40% off.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
I did the one, Lisa actually found it for me, but she went on, Nike.com had Black Friday all weekend, where everything was reduced, and then if you, at the end of it for Black Friday, if you put in the code, you saved an extra 25%.
Nice.
So you could catch some deals.
Yeah.
But this whole, I think it's overblown, Cyber Monday.
I looked online on Amazon. There was nothing I wanted. Absolutely nothing I wanted.
This is just like free money day for Amazon.
Pretty
much. They just clean up.
Pretty much.
Because their distribution centers, I saw on the news, were just already like blowing and going and killing it. Like,
of course.
You know, all these kind of orders.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
It was quiet, but it was good. Yeah, it was nice. What about you?
It was good. It was relaxing. You know, I come from a split household. My parents got divorced when I was 6, so I have always had to do one family or the other because you can't have 2 Thanksgiving meals. It's
right.
Impossible. I always forget who I was with the previous year. And I never write it down like I should.
Yeah. Yeah, you, but, of all people, who keep flowcharts for everything.
Yeah, copious amounts of notes. No, that's the one thing I don't write down. I still haven't written it down for this year. But, yeah, I had a good Thanksgiving with moms and then had the shows this weekend, and that went well. Sold out the Saturday night early show, so that was great.
Yeah, congratulations.
Got close to selling out the Friday early show and the Saturday late show. Just like last time, like in February when I did it, we sold out Saturday early, almost sold out Friday early and Saturday late, and then the Friday late show, for whatever reason, was it was all right. A lot of people came out, though. Tons of listeners. Really cool to meet a lot of the listeners that I hadn't met before. Yo, Adrian came out.
Oh, good.
He was there. Jennifer came out from our promo team. She was cool enough to surprise me, came out to the late show on Friday, which was cool to hang out with her. Aaron Raybould came out. Old Aaron, former ESPN guy, former producer.
Yep.
I think he's at, like, The Buzz now.
He's on 18 different stations.
Yeah, he's big time now. But he came out. So it was cool, man. And I got to meet a ton of listeners that said that they listen on a daily basis and love the show. And that's always awesome.
That's big.
And ones that we don't normally communicate with, right? Like, guys that you know are listening, but they don't tweet or text us or do whatever. So that's cool. My favorite, though, is when I meet a listener. And I'm making air quotes. You can't really see them because it's radio.
Yeah.
But I met this one guy who was very nice. And I'm not going to say his name. I specifically remember it, though, because of the way he talked to me. Because he came up to me and goes, "Yo, Barry, man, love the show. I listen all the time." I was like, "Cool." And he was like, "Hey, can I take a picture with you?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's take a picture." So we took a picture. That happens a lot. And then he just was like, "Yeah, so cool, man. I love it. What's the name of it? Is it The Unusual Suspects?" I was like, "Nope, that is not that is not the name of it at all." So then he starts to make a little more small talk, and he goes, "By the way, when are y'all on again in the mornings?" And I was like, "Nope, we are on at 1 o'clock, and you don't have to tell me you listen to the show if you don't." That's the takeaway from this, is when you see me in public, don't pretend like you listen.
Right.
If you don't. Like, I'm okay if you don't
like
listen.
Like, if you're just new and you take to your comedy and you like the vibe you got and go, yeah, I'm going to start following this guy. I'm going to start listening. I'm going to start doing this.
Cool.
Just be honest.
Cool. But if you come up and say, man, I listen to you all the time. What time do y'all come on in the morning again on the Unusual Suspects? It's like, you don't have to lie to kick it. That used
you
to be
and the
a
big
song.
Guy with the beard are really good in the morning.
Yeah, it's like, oh, God. But it was just one guy that did that. Everybody else was super cool, man. Got to meet a lot of new folks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man, had a great time. Had some good shows. The feature was, his name was EJ Nonstop. He was hilarious. He made it hard. He made me work. It was very, because usually the people that go before me, I'm not worried about having to follow.
They're just setting the table
so people
can eat.
This dude, it was like, woo, man. He was in any headlines, too. So it was like having to follow a headliner. So it was good. It was good work. It was it kept me on my toes, so it was fun, though, man. I had a good time.
I got to tell you, I enjoyed the time off.
Me too.
Because last year we were so much on the grind and still trying to establish everything that we worked the day after Thanksgiving. And it was just nice to kind of detox for a couple of days and not, you know, watch games without having to watch games, if that made sense. I don't want to watch every second of every Rockets game and every college game and every pro game because we had to talk about it the next day. We had some time to just kind of chill out, watch sports, relax a little bit, and then come back with the batteries charged to push forth for the month of December. So that's great.
I tell you, I hope you didn't take notes watching those Rocket games.
God, that was awful. Well, I got some. I wrote an article last night for Sportsman. It was the easiest article I could write because, boy, if you think that team is deep and has a bench, just go back and watch those last two games and go, what happened?
How do you lose to the Cavs?
That's awful. Well, I'll tell you what.
It is awful.
The Cavs, they don't want to have too good of a year because if they finish – outside of the top, they give up their first-round pick unless they finish in the top 10 of worst records.
Right.
But pretty good season capper right there for them. Back-to-back, you beat the Sixers on the road and the Rockets at home.
Yeah.
And you're right, it still shouldn't have happened. But Avery Johnson is a hell of a recruiter, and the kid that he put into the NBA, Sexton can play.
Yeah.
Because that was an impressive display by at least one player on a team that never should beat the Rockets.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, how was your Thanksgiving, man?
I can't complain, man. I had some food. I didn't stuff myself like I normally would each year, but I had some good food, man. Had some turkey. And
did you eat?
What about the duck?
I was gonna say, did you eat the fried duck? Or
no, he didn't. He didn't come through. And
or duck butt or whatever you had.
The deep fried duck. I had it last year, and he didn't come through this year, and I wasn't terribly disappointed, to be honest with you. I mean, I wasn't really.
So the house is still standing then.
It is intact, sir. Nothing. The house has not been burnt down. I mean, I'm not responsible for any of the cooking duties, so we're good. We're good.
Did you go anywhere or do anything? Or
no, I just stayed at home with the fam. I did a lot what Joel's talking about. It was cool because you're right. You can kind of soak up a lot of the games.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Rockets, you know, lost two in a row, and I didn't, you know, that wasn't two games you really wanted to soak up. But all the football games, all the college football happenings, like there was a lot that you could just enjoy and just enjoy from the couch without taking any notes or having a laptop or tweeting anything. And that's, to me, that was the best part of the vacation.
Well, you texted me what I take when I'm sick, so I was a little concerned that you.
Oh,
might
I've been taking that all weekend, man. That I don't want to give it a free plug, but I've been taking it.
Yeah.
I've been taking it all weekend.
So I was a little worried you were going to come back under the weather, and then I saw that you were. Did you win the Astros ring, or you had a deal going on?
What was that about? Yeah. You were at a
fundraiser.
A friend of mine. You know, just last minute said, hey, I'm going to a Toys for Tots event, and if you want to join, I'm like, fine. And then she, you know, she kind of knew that I worked for radio, and she was like, if you want to tweet this out, that'd be great. I'm like, no problem. So I just, you know, I just went, enjoyed some of the drinks and, you know, some of the raffles that they had, and it was a small event, but it was fun. It was last minute, and that's the reason why I tweeted it out, but it was a cool charity event.
Nice. Cool. Look at you, like, man about town. I like it, man. You're out there. Now, when you introduce yourself, do you say, I'm Nick Sherrara with The Usual Suspects. Are you always promoting the show for us when you're gallivanting around town?
Probably said, I'm Nick Sherrara. I was on The Blitz yesterday.
I should have. The big show, right? No, this is The Big Show.
Yeah, this is
right.
Don't get it right, dude. This is The Big Show.
Yeah.
That's how I introduce people. I'm like, hi, I'm Barry Laminek of The Unusual Suspects.
I kind of let them ask that question.
Yeah,
I don't really bring
morning.
It up myself. So
you what?
I let them bring that up. I don't really bring it up myself. That's just
I lead with it. even like just like if I'm in like a church setting and I'm on the radio. No, I don't.
I'm so proud of it. I always say I used to be with the Rockets.
Do you? I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a big-time comedian that no one knows about. Just living that life.
We're hanging our hat on hooks that aren't there anymore, but, hey, it feels good to at least throw them at the wall
anymore,
and hope it sticks.
In my case, they never existed. I don't have those hooks at all.
All right, we're just getting started. We want you to stop by. We're at Buku, great place for a late lunch where you can stop by and grab some grub, maybe grab a daiquiri, see Barry and myself here, and then AJ and Fred will be along at 4 o'clock to take it home till 7 o'clock. And, of course, we have the same standards we always do. We ask you to kind of stay above board, but if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's the HRP Lister line where you can call, you can text, and you can also hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick.
Yeah, hey, listen, man, after you come out here and get some Buku tomorrow, let's hook up and go to lunch and have Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. I don't think they're open for lunch tomorrow, but we can make it Wednesday. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, man, 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. What I love about the menu is it's so diverse. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. And maybe some of you that might be new to the program are thinking, what on earth is that? What that means is you get your choice. You can have stuff like chicken fried steak. You can have sliders and hamburgers and wings, or you can go the traditional Indian food route and get, like, lamb vindaloo. You can get a butter chicken, some of the best butter chicken in the city of Houston, by the way. And all of the food, all of the Indian food especially, those recipes, Haas's family recipes that have been passed down over the generations and perfected right there in the Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen itself. The crew does a great job out there. And I'm telling you, man, every listener that has gone out there has gotten back to me and said how much they love the food. I know you're going to love it, too. You just have to go out there and give it a try. And just try it one time. You'll be back. I know you will. It's outstanding. Check it out. Check them out on Instagram as well. It's CNI713 on Instagram. You can see some of the food that they serve on a daily basis. It's ridiculously good. They've got a full service bar. They've got trivia on Wednesday nights that you can go out there and have some fun. And also you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. We'll all bring Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen to your door. And don't forget, it's their second year anniversary. So on Mondays and Tuesdays, as a thank you to you guys out there that have gone every day, they're offering 30% off all of the Indian kitchen items on the menu. Monday and Tuesday, 30% off all the Indian kitchen items on the menu. And you can use code TASTYDELIVERY to get Uber Eats delivered to your door. You can have Uber Eats deliver Cowboys and Indians for free. Just use TASTYDELIVERY as your code. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook and Instagram. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
You ready?
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Just getting started on The Usual Suspects on a Monday. Cyber Monday, if that's your thing. If not, hopefully we are every day as we kind of entertain you as best as we can, talking sports and other things, 1 to 4 p.m. ESPN 97.5. Barry and I right now are at Buku. We are right here at the corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. If you're in the Galleria area, you want to grab a little late lunch. Best Cajun food around. It is absolutely fantastic. And if you don't have to go back to work and you want to hang out for a while, lots of beautiful people, lots of great margaritas and drinks. Daiquiris and drinks. And again, if you're looking for a place to watch that Texans game tonight and you don't have tickets to the game, come on into Buku. Lots of TVs. And like I said, if you want food and drink that's second to none, just stop on it.
I'm not going to lie. Every time I see it on the calendar, I get a little excited.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, I'm going to get some gumbo. I'm going to get some etouffee. I get a little excited.
Yeah, about,
you know, my inner fat boy just like gets to go crazy here. So I mean, by the way, 2:30, Sarah Barshop's going to join us to talk Texans Titans. And then talk all things Texans, actually.
And
so.
Baby names.
No,
and
we
delivery
won't do
dates
that. No.
Okay.
All right. No.
Gender reveals.
Speaking of gender reveals.
Yeah, we've got a little dicey, saucy topic for the coming from the weekend.
This hubbub about Dwight Howard. is pretty interesting. So apparently, I don't know what happened to our link. Did it get deleted?
Can I just say that we've always called Drew on our promo team
Baby Dwight?
I don't think we're calling him Baby Dwight anymore. I think there's been a change of plans. I think circumstances beyond our control, he's no longer Baby Dwight.
If you're not aware by now, a person – I've got to be very careful. You don't want to offend anybody. But a person has come out and basically said that Dwight Howard was –
So let me just read the headline from one of the locations.
Okay, yeah, you do it. You do it. You do it.
The headline reads, Dwight Howard allegedly outed by gay ex-boyfriend, then calls him names that I'm not going to say on the radio.
Oh, I'll say that because it's part of the headline. Just read the headline as is. Quote, Dwight Howard allegedly outed by gay ex-boyfriend, calls him a 6'11 bottom. So there's that. And then Barstool has it as Dwight Howard is being put on blast for allegedly hooking up at transgender sex parties. I don't even know where to start or begin other than to say I was hoping that in this day and age that this isn't an issue anymore. It apparently is. And I think I feel bad for him. Because whatever his lifestyle is, it shouldn't matter.
That's his deal.
Two different things. What he does on the court and what he does off the court, to me, are two separate things and should be two separate things. I feel bad for him. But at the same time, the person that came out, Mason Elijah, also said that he was saying and doing some pretty nasty things to her and not, you know. So I feel like there's this kind of.
Did you air quote right there on her?
No, I didn't. You. That's all you.
I just asked a question.
There's this kind of gray area where if you can't just start calling people out and you know picking on people and expect that not to go public. So if you wanted your private life private, you should have handled your business appropriately. Well, at the same time, she's kind of wrong for putting his business out there, regardless of the threats.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel to be honest.
And here's the thing: you mentioned Mason. I don't know if it's
Mason Elijah.
Is it Elijah or LA or I don't know, but whatever. We'll just call Mason.
J-E.
Mason has said that Dwight's pastor got involved.
Yep.
And there were threats made and that she didn't sign the agreement that was put in place
to
non-disclosure. To keep everything kind of hush-hush. So there's a lot going on in this story that keeps getting dicier. But
so,
and some of the messages that were exchanged between the two were published as well. But the other thing that – I don't know, man. The whole thing to me is like you got to wait till – obviously a day or two till it all sorts itself out. But the bad thing about this is Mason has a track record – of doing this kind of thing.
Oh, see, that's part of what I was getting to. You've got to be careful not to be too quick to judge until you have all the facts and know everything, because there's this message that Mason posted that says, does your mother, brother, friend know that you like to deal with trans and men, or that's just something you've kept to yourself? He said, why are you asking me for? And Mason said, I'd like to know. To which Dwight replied, I don't want to answer. So Mason takes that and then puts it out there in the public as a screenshot. And that's just, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this other than it would suck to be an athlete. This is why I feel bad for Dwight Howard, for no other reason other than the fact that his private life should be his private life. Regardless of what goes on now, you know, you start committing crimes and either threatening people or doing things to them. That's different. You should be exposed if that's the case. But a little bit of me, I was like, man, I kind of smell a setup here. This smells a little bit like a setup, regardless of what the pastor or anybody else did. So I don't know. It's very weird to try to approach it like from a media standpoint to talk about it, because you don't want to assume, you don't want to jump to any conclusions, you don't want to just make this, you know, a decision on what you think happened without all the facts, because obviously his side's not going to come out or hasn't come out yet and said anything. So you want to wait and see what they have to say as well. I found it interesting in this article from Barstool This Raquel Willis also said, anybody cracking basic-ass jokes about Dwight Howard situations needs to get a grip. Athletes love trans women. Like many of your friends, this isn't new. So I was going to ask you, you're a friend.
Easy there, Chief.
Joel.
Let me just say, this is news to me. I was around Dwight Howard for the years he was with the Rockets.
Yeah.
Dwight was known as a child in a 7-footer's body, a little immature, had some issues from time to time off the floor.
I thought you were going to say tendencies.
But nothing like this. Nothing like tendencies. No, yeah. But although some things that could have got him in some trouble in other states. But at the same time, I never saw any of this coming. Now, you go back and forth. The thing that's bad is this is all in the public eye.
Yeah.
And it is getting messy because now all the text messages are being republished and the threats and who made the threats and in verifying that the people that made the threats were directly associated with Dwight and his camp. The pastor involved doesn't make it any cleaner. It's just a very, very messy situation. If you're Dwight Howard, you play the Rockets tonight too.
Yeah.
People love to talk about this transgender stuff so much. I almost want to say that if you are a transgender, it's almost an opportunity for you to capitalize. If you text or direct message any athlete and you screenshot it, you're only going to get clicks and attention. And look, he should have taken the Michael Blackson approach. When that transgender female or male, when she DM'd Michael Blackson, he screenshotted it and put it on Instagram right away. He didn't even hesitate. And I think that's the best approach.
You got to get out in front of it. And like I said, man, what's funny is there was a guy in the comment section on Barstool that said, I don't care who he bleeps. I just don't want him to end up on my team. And that should be what this is about. It shouldn't necessarily be about the fact that, he's being outed as gay or not or whatever. That's his personal life, man.
Here's the biggest thing with Dwight, though. He has too much time on his hands.
Yeah.
Because even when he was with the Rockets and throughout his career, he's been, overly active on social media.
True.
And not just to have conversation while killing time on the bus or the plane or traveling, but actually engaging with people to the point of contact with these people and setting himself up for a lot of things that could possibly happen, especially when you're as popular and in the public eye as he is and has been. And this just another example of the fact that this is the way Dwight likes to spend a lot of free time. And he hasn't learned from his past mistakes in a lot of ways. And this is one that, regardless, we'll find out. We maybe never know all the facts. We'll find out more as things progress in terms of what's true, what's false, all this other stuff. But at the same time, you don't want all your – whatever your public – your private business is, it's your private business. Now it's out all over the place.
Yeah, and you know what? As long as he's good on D and finishes around the hole, it shouldn't matter.
What was his injury that he's been out with all year? What was his injury he's been out with all year?
A glute. he's had a glute injury.
Excuse me, sir. Mind if I ask you a question? What was his injury again?
This is getting childish.
It's the way we do things around here, but just the irony of all of this is that Dwight has been battling a butt issue ever since preseason, they said. He says it happened when he was traveling back and forth to China and was on the plane too long, sitting the wrong way.
Yeah.
But evidently it's been lingering, and we don't know if he's going to play tonight.
JT on the text line says, what's wrong with Nick? Why does he sound like Trey today? Are you sick?
No, I'm not sick. I was sick over the weekend, but yeah. I'm getting over it. I'm feeling better.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I don't think you sound like Trey at all.
No, I don't either.
You sound like you've been ill. That's all.
I sound different.
Yes.
Congested.
Yes.
You're fighting it.
Yeah.
You're putting up the good fight, though. It's all right.
It's all right.
All right, well, we're going to continue to roll on. We can talk about that. We can talk about a lot of other things. We got a whole lot of football to cover. A lot of coaching changes in both the college and the pro ranks are starting to take shape as well. And anything that's on your mind you want to get off your chest, just give us a call, 713-780-3776. That's the HRP listener line. OU Mike is on hold, which means by the end of this break he won't be. But OU Mike has already called in, and you can too. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Hey,
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Listen, man, you missed a great opportunity this weekend to get action on the games, but I don't want you to make that same mistake twice. So I want you to get online and go to mybookie.ag and get ready to have some fun while you're watching football. And remember, man, MyBookie is the online destination to get action on any game, and who you're betting on is as important as who you are betting with. That's why I want you to go to mybookie.ag and get started. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been in business for years. It's why I recommend them, and it's why you should be playing with them. Plus, when you win, they pay you. That's super important, man. A lot of places that you play, you might win money, and then it's a hassle to get your money. Not with MyBookie. They have in-game live betting, so it's all kinds of fun stuff for you. A lot of rewarding player perks that you can take advantage of. And you can even bet the over-under on fantasy points that a player will score each and every week. So all kinds of cool stuff. Just go to mybookie.ag on your smartphone or computer. If you're having trouble finding it, just Google MyBookie, M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E. And when you sign up, use promo code radio, and they will give you 50% of your first deposit back. So you put in $500, they're going to give you $250 more absolutely free. That's a 50% match on your first deposit using promo code radio. Just go to mybookie.ag and get started. Mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
Speaking of that, how about the over in the LSU A&M game? Oh, man.
That was, how cool is it that in one season of football in general, we've had the Kansas City LA Rams game, the Chiefs Rams game, and then that game.
Yeah.
You got to see if you love offense.
I was so mad because I took LSU in the points. So I ended up winning it, but I had no idea because I was kind of food comaed. So I was laying on the couch, and it was like I think the game was in the fourth quarter, and I fell asleep. And when I woke up, I was like, oh, the game has to be just completely over with. And I flipped over. And I saw the game was over. So I was like, oh, hopefully I won. So I was going and looking, and all of a sudden across the bottom of the screen it says 74-72 A&M. And I was like, oh, that's the basketball score. I didn't know they played two. And I'm looking around, I'm like, seven overtimes?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I went back and I had taped it. I was watching some of the replays, and I was like, I know there's controversy on both sides.
Several plays that were controversial on both sides.
Yeah,
Jermaine Every was pouting pretty hard on social media about how the refs robbed the LSU Tigers.
Stop. I mean,
there were several questionable calls on both sides. So both teams had a legitimate beef and argument. Early in the game, there were a lot of spots. There was a fourth down spot that they had to punt. LSU goes down and scores on that. But when
they looked at the spot, the TV first down line was wrong. But the officials got the actual on-field first down line right, which people didn't realize.
At the end of the game?
There was two.
I'm talking about the first half.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the game, they got that one right.
There was one of the LSU touchdowns, I believe, that occurred after the Aggies had to punt because they didn't get the spot that they should have gotten, and then that led to a score. So you never know what happens in that regard. But again, it's the Aggies, and I fully expected them to not win that game. That's why I was stunned. I was really pissed that I'm on stage the whole time that game is happening.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it started, Saturday at 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
My show was at 7. So I had it recorded. And of course, you don't plan on a five-hour football game with seven overtime. So I recorded the game, and I always add an hour just in case there's a little bit of overtime. No. Thank goodness, though, for the SEC channel. Replaying it and just showing you the highlights.
Yep.
So that I got to see most of, so I was pretty excited about that. But a good win for Jimbo Fisher, although marred a little bit by the post-game activities. His nephew, if you hadn't heard, Jimbo Fisher's nephew after the game punched a ailing LSU staffer who has Parkinson's and a pacemaker. And he punched Jimbo Fisher's nephew, punched this guy, and his name was, where'd it go? Craig Thorpe.
Yeah, Craig Thorpe. He's the former offensive coordinator.
Steve Craig Thorpe. He's an analyst for LSU. So Jimbo Fisher's nephew punched this dude in the chest, messed up, not messed up his pacemaker, but, you know, the guy said, I didn't appreciate it. I'm not feeling great right now. I have no idea who the guy is. It's a bad look. It's a really bad look. And then, of course, Kevin Falk, former NFL running back Kevin Falk, was there. He's on the LSU staff, and he went after Jimbo Fisher's nephew, who is Cole Fisher, is his name. He goes after him, and they kind of get into a scuffle. Then there's really interesting video. I don't know if you saw it, but the video after the game where, my God, what are you doing?
Trying to get a napkin out.
You just pulled every napkin in the box out at one time.
Because they weren't coming out. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Carry on with your day, will you please?
So there's video of postgame where Jimbo Fisher's walking off the field and his nephew Cole comes running up. And you can't hear everything, but you hear him say something about yada yada punch. And he even throws an air punch to, you know, as he's talking, using his hands, he's throwing punches. So pretty bad look for the Aggies. Now, you know, you don't know what happened. Obviously, I haven't heard if what went on. But either way, you can't go around punching people after a game unless it's really bad. And I can't imagine that a guy with Parkinson's and a pacemaker could do anything that would warrant you punching him in the chest.
So essentially, as we said with the Dwight Howard story, the truth eventually starts trickling out there, and you start getting more details. So Craig Thorpe, the guy you're talking about,
Craig Thorpe
was a former offensive coordinator at LSU. He developed Parkinson's, so they made him a special staff assistant and also the color analyst for the broadcast. He happened to be on the field, and A&M's receiver coach, Damian Craig, who used to work at LSU until Ed Orgeron took over and then released him and relieved him of his duties, and he was hired by A&M. After the game, he ran right over to the LSU sideline and started talking mad smack. And he was running up and down the sidelines and really getting into it, at which time Craig Thorpe kind of said, hey, Damian, just slow down, take it easy, no need to do all that. You won the game. You know, just don't do that. You don't need to be doing that. Move along. And that's when Jimbo's nephew Cole came in, and hit him directly in the pacemaker. Because according to Craig Thorpe, he said, I got nailed. He's a young guy. I'm 53, and I'm not going to fight him. I have Parkinson's. I didn't go down, but I clutched over. I was like, damn, he got me right in the pacemaker, and it started to flutter as he jostled it. He said, I feel okay. I'm not going to press charges, but I felt like he tore something in there, and I'll definitely be seeing my neurologist in Baton Rouge on Monday.
Not good.
Not a good look. And at first, it was set up to be that Kevin Falk was throwing punches too. But in the end, what happened was Kevin Falk was defending Craig Thorpe.
Yeah. Pretty bad look. Pretty disgusting, actually, if all that is true. If there's nothing else that comes out and he wasn't provoked in any way, pretty disgusting. And something needs to be done about it.
A&M initially will be fined $50,000 just for storming the field following the game. But that further investigation is going on as we speak to try and assess what happened, who was at fault, and exactly what's going to be done going forward.
It also surprised me that they did storm the field, because Kyle Field, the field itself, is considered kind of, you know, hallowed ground and sacred ground, and you don't go on the field. And there's been altercations in the past where the Corps and other folks have prevented people from getting onto the field. So a little surprising even that the fans and so forth did storm the field and were allowed to, so...
Just bad look after a good win, man. Because that's his signature win for year one. And you know, we've talked about the fact it seems like Jimbo was doing good things already. But to get that win and to beat a team you hadn't beaten since you joined the SEC, all that good was kind of tabled, unfortunately, by all the bad after the celebration and everything that happened that way. Because otherwise, just a wild game. And some people are saying not only just the college game of the year, but maybe one of the best of all time. That's an instant classic. That's one of those where, you know, you're right. And God bless the SEC for doing what the NFL Network does. Take out all the commercials and all the all the delays and the stoppages and just watch that game again. You are entertained throughout.
Yeah, absolutely. It was and I'm telling you, man, as an Aggie fan especially, I knew the outcome, and I'm still watching it going, oh, yeah, this is typical. This is typical. This is it was difficult. I couldn't imagine watching it live. I'll tell you that, because there were so many times where that game probably should have been over,
Ogeron got a Gatorade bath thinking it was over, and then he had wet drawers for all the overtime.
Of all the Aggie things to happen in that game, that was the most Aggie thing to happen, was Ed Ogeron getting a Gatorade bath and then losing. But, I mean, even from the knee being down on the interception, yes, which it was, that was the correct call, to the 1 second, you know, on the clock when it probably should have been over. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Is Jimbo Fisher, like, lucky that the Aggies this never goes the Aggies' way. That would have been an interception in the past. The time would have run off the clock in the past. Have both of those things not happened and been overturned, this game would have been over. So, I tell you, it was a great game, and as an Aggie fan, you got to be like, maybe this is the dawning of a new era.
I think it is. And if he gets a good quarterback, he'll do something he has rarely done at Florida State, but could do something that A&M has struggled with in the past, too, and really keep this program moving in the right direction. But encouraging signs there. LSU's got nothing to be ashamed of. That was a hell of a game on their part as well.
Yeah.
And so it was a fun-to-watch weekend with that and lots of other college football, so we still got plenty more to get to. And if there's something you want to talk to, and please don't be an Aggie or an LSU fan that wants to bitch about the officials. But if you want to talk about college football, other things, 713-780-3776. You can call, text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. Live from Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue. Stop by and see us. We're here till 4. Blitz is here till 7.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Hour number one, 3 hour show. It is The Usual Suspects coming to you live from Buku. I've got all kinds of technical things going on right now.
You are a mess.
You guys should come out and see us. 5600 Richmond Avenue. I'm telling you, best Cajun food around. It is absolutely fantastic. Daiquiris are absolutely going to wet your whistle, fire you right up. And it's a great spot to stop in and check out the game tonight. Whatever you got going, if you're in the Galleria area looking for a spot for lunch, this is the place to be.
I forgot to mention, up front when I was talking about all the different listeners that came out, I forgot to mention I got to meet Coach Flea.
Oh, yeah?
He came out.
Okay.
Yeah, so many of them that came out that I got to meet, and it was really cool.
Cool.
But, shout out to Coach Flea for coming out. I'm glad he had a good time.
We have, like, a whole coaching staff that listens.
We do.
We could put our all – and basically colleges may be calling them, too, because there's a lot of vacancies going on right now in pro and college. But, yeah, we've got coaches that listen. We've got quite the gamut.
For sure. Somebody said, Barry, I was there the entire overtime. I was sweating profusely in all overtimes. Most emotionally exhausting game ever. This was only the second game that I've ever seen where Kyle Field was rushed by the students and fans. Very, very untraditional and rarely happens. But after that performance, kind of hard to keep 40,000 students from getting on the field. And then somebody tweeted to me and said, Mark said, I was on the team that did the final leveling surveys for the field. It's so sacred they wouldn't let us take any pictures whatsoever. Not even the survey crew, and pictures are kind of important at times for us in what we do. So that just tells you, man, it was wild.
Yeah, it really, seriously, I mean, there's certain things in a college atmosphere, and I get it. Everybody's all about safety, and they want everybody to be safe from the players to, you know, the fans. And a lot of times the players on the visiting team don't want to be touched in the middle of that. But it's a college environment, and that's part of the emotions that go with college sports, that in the heat of the moment, everybody wants to celebrate. They want to feel like that's their school, that's their team, they're a part of it. And so – I just think, you're gonna find the university, but you're not gonna stop that from happening.
Well, and you would think that you worry about if the students rush the field that they're gonna do something stupid, and lo and behold, it becomes a staffer and the nephew of the head coach that does something stupid, and not the student. So,
I think his sideline pass is revoked until further notice.
It should be. He should be gone for sure.
That's the thing. I mean, you know what? Even though you're a relative, just act.
Show a little class.
Act like a decent human being, right? And granted, he may not know that the guy has a pacemaker and Parkinson's, but at the same time, just another reason why you don't. You're privileged enough to be on the field with no role with the the program.
Yeah.
Don't overstep your boundaries and really could have done so. Thank goodness he didn't do more from a health perspective to harm the Craig Thorpe. That would have been really disgusting and a real horrible end to what was an incredible game.
Indeed. So some news out of baseball. Steven Adams reporting, actually Mark Bowman of MLB.com on Twitter reporting, Brian McCann has signed with the Braves.
Really?
Yep.
As a coach? No. They don't have and they don't have a DH in the National League.
No.
So
he will be playing catcher for the Atlanta Braves again. Going back to the Braves.
Well, I mean, and we'll have Jeff Blum on later in the week, and he'll talk some baseball with us. But at the same time, I got the impression, I think you were on the same page, that when he packed up and had his rummage sale here and folded up the tents in Houston, that he was going to call it a career, and it was a hell of a career. And I don't think anybody expected him to be signing with anybody unless he wanted to further his career as a coach or somewhere in baseball in the front office. I'm shocked by that.
I am too. The Braves also at 132, it was reported by Ken Rosenthal, they have agreed with Josh Donaldson on a contract as well.
So they're going to.
Braves making moves,
they're
man.
They're going for it a little bit. Look at his money.
1 year deal, $23 million contract.
That's J.J. Redick money.
Yeah.
Wow.
$23 million for 1 year.
Good for Josh. I mean, it's
seriously. Baseball players
good for Josh Donaldson.
Money. Yep.
That is a lot of cake right there. And the Braves, who, you know, we had said all through the course of the season, probably about a year ahead of schedule. But now that they're on schedule, it looks like they're going to be stocking the cupboard and going for it full tilt. So good for them. Because if you're a fan base.
Yeah. Won 90 games last year. And yeah, now they're making – now they're, you know, and I don't think anybody thought that they would finish third in that division necessarily.
If you're in the Braves fan base, you got to be excited because,
Absolutely. You
know, they're taking, you know, some good young talent, Acuna and those guys, and they're adding players around them. And McCann, if nothing else, is a great guy in the locker room, a great coach on the bench that can, you know, really work with some of those young players and give them some of the perspective that they don't have. And I think that helps a lot. So I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Yep. Very cool.
Astros have been active in a lot of trade discussions from what we hear. Still kicking the tires on a lot of big-name pitchers, including Madbom in San Francisco, including inquiring about Corey Kluber with the Indians. Look, there's a lot of names out there, and it doesn't have to be one of those guys. But if it is one of those guys,
woo-hoo!
I mean, no matter what anybody else does in baseball, everybody will take notice and go, well, they're the team to beat.
Oh, I think they're already the team to beat. But, yeah, you're right. It's if you add a name like Kluber or somebody, forget it. That's I mean, you can play the games. But if they add a Corey Kluber and they have Justin Verlander and the rest of that staff, they're the Golden State Warriors of baseball for at least a year.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's all over.
There's teams that can compete with them. It's not quite as drastic as the Warriors. But look,
oh, I don't know.
It's a distinct
advantage. Two guys that were, what, top three in
the
Cy Young?
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally
a legit
Klay Thompson
for the whole year.
That's literally Durant and Steph Curry's type stuff right there, along with Altuve, along with Alex Bregman emerging as a legitimate MVP candidate with Carlos Correa. I mean, it's probably as close as you're going to get. I'll be honest with you. I don't think the Red Sox do what they did again next year.
I agree with that.
I don't think that. I think it was great what they did. I think I would be more on the lookout for the Yankees than I would the Red Sox. But
especially since they already added Paxton, and their biggest weakness was pitching.
Yeah.
And you knew some of the guys that didn't pan out for them. They desperately tried to get Lynn into the rotation last year. Didn't work. They're trying to unload Sonny Gray because he can't handle the big stage in the big city of New York after they made the trade for him. So if the Yankees add another starting pitcher to the likes of Paxton heading over there to help Severino and those guys. Look, they're going to be a team that has to be reckoned with, but I'm with you. I can see the Yankees overtaking the Red Sox in that division because they just never hold back on the money.
Oh, no.
Or doing anything that they need to do to get back to the forefront. So I hope the Astros compete from that perspective and keep adding to what is already a potent lineup and hopefully they make another run at it for next year.
Yeah, and we would be remiss if we went any further without saying rest in peace to Bob McNair.
Yep.
Passed away of cancer at 81 years old over the weekend.
He was sick for a long time. He was dealing with lots of different cancers. And I know that everybody's going to go to the quote.
And I shouldn't say cancer. They didn't disclose how he died.
No, they did. They did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did on the news. They started to divulge that he had skin cancer, which started it, and he had other forms of cancer and succumbed to it at 81. But when a lot of people are critical because of the comments that he made with the inmates running the prison. And a lot of things later, but a lot of people, other people that are smart enough to not go out there and just, try it after the man's gone, but just appreciate the fact that, look, he brought football back to the city of Houston, Texas.
Yeah. I know there were plenty of people that disagreed with him, but I think one of my friends, his name's Brett, Brett Thompson, and he said it best. I wasn't his biggest fan and didn't necessarily agree with some of the things he said and did, but I'll never celebrate a man's death.
Right.
Probably a great way to put it. I mean, whether you agree or disagree with a lot of what Bob McNair did and some of the things that were said about him as a person. Look, he did. He brought football back to this city, in a city that desperately needed and wanted football, and he was able to deliver on that. And you know what? It was a team that, for good or for bad, was this city's team. And you could get mad at them and you could get frustrated with them, but at least you had a team, and this whole city has Bob McNair to thank for that.
No question, because remember, the deck was stacked against him. No one gave Houston a chance to get an NFL squad.
True.
When he was going after it. So the fact that he even was in the discussion, took it all the way to the finish line, and then was able to do what people said couldn't be done and bring a team back after you lost the Oilers, he definitely is going to go down in the history book in Houston sports lore, and will never be forgotten for that very reason. And a lot of people also need to realize that, yes, there are negatives and there are things, like I said, that he can be criticized for, but he was very philanthropic, very good in terms of the charities and the way he gave back to not only his University of South Carolina, but also everything that he did here in the city of Houston to better everybody's lives around. So, and the NRG Stadium, you can go on and on. So
brought
now,
two Super Bowls to this city.
That's true.
Don't underestimate what that means. The economic impact of a Super Bowl on a city, it creates jobs. It infuses money into a community, and he was able to do that twice for this city. So that's an important deal that he was able to accomplish as well.
Yeah, no question about it. So rest in peace, Bob McNair. Interesting to see how Cal does taking over, because he's a guy that seemed very, very comfortable hiding in the background, and now he is going to be front and center whether he likes it or not.
Yes, he will. Now he will bear the brunt of anger and ire from Texans fans, which at the end of the day is all part of sports.
I think
unless you're winning a Super Bowl every year, and even then I imagine there would be some people that wouldn't be happy.
I think that someone should buy Cal McNair a copy on the DVD of Major League. Bull Durham,
mm-hmm.
and just memorize the quotes. I'm happy to be here. Hopefully I can help the team. Good Lord willing, everything works out in the end. Just like, Bob Bonier is a very religious guy. Cal, those are the three quotes you need, and then you just move on your merry way.
You're good to go from there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we got 1 hour in the books. We got 2 hours still to go. If you want to stop in, we'd love to see you. We're here at Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue, corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. Stop in for a late lunch if you're in the Galleria area. Best Cajun food around. Lots of great daiquiris. Beautiful people abound. And, of course, a great place to watch the Texans game tonight as well.
Hey, you busy tomorrow afternoon?
I got a show to do.
Yeah, after the show.
The Unusual Suspects.
The Unusual Suspects. Yes. You going to go to Vortex with me? Don't be scared, Joel.
I'm not scared because I've been getting back on the workout thing.
Come do the Rumble class with me. Nick, you go, right?
Maybe.
Hello,
maybe,
Nick?
Maybe.
All right, Nick, I'm with you, maybe.
Man,
good.
You guys got to go with me, man. It's a fantastic workout. I know you're all fat and happy after Thanksgiving with all the food you ate, but let's go shed some pounds at Vortex. It's a great way to do it. They've got the Rumble classes, which are the boxing classes. They've got the ride classes, which are the spin classes. And no matter what class you take, and whether it's in the morning, because they do offer a full array of morning classes, or in the afternoon after work, which they have the same schedule available, it's only 45 minutes. It's a complete full-body workout. You're going to burn hundreds of calories, I promise. I went running, and I think I ran like 2 miles. I burned like 300 calories. You go do a boxing class, the guy told me you can burn 500-600 calories in one class. That's like a whole meal you're going to burn off, and you don't have to worry about for the day. It's a great workout. It's a fun workout. You actually learn how to box. The guy that teaches the class on Tuesdays, Trey, He was an alternate on the Olympic team. He was a boxer in the Army. So he's not just getting you in shape. He's not just motivating you, which he does really well, by the way. You're not going to want to quit when you're in that class. But he's also teaching you how to box. He teaches you how to throw a jab properly and turn it over. He teaches you how to throw a hook. He teaches you how to slip punches. I'm not saying you could go out and defend yourself and become a boxer, but it's great to learn that and know it and get in shape while you're doing it. It's fun. The ride classes, you would think that a ride class is just, oh, you just get on a bike and ride. Oh, no, no, no. There's weights. There's this towel exercise where you think it's hard to hold a towel in the air. Yeah, take the ride class and see if how hard or how easy it is. All the classes are great, and you can do walk-up classes for $25, your choice, spin or rumble. You can get a $40 unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week to try it out, and then sign up on a monthly plan that you're interested in. Super easy to do that as well. All of it goes down online at vortextexas.com. That's where you sign up. That's where you schedule your classes. That's where you can see all the different athletes that are going on and any specials that they may have going on right now. So meet me out there tomorrow. I'm going to be at the 5:30 Rumble class. Go sign up at vortextexas.com and let's get started. 1707 West Gray, 281-501-3094 is the number. And one more time with the website, it's vortextexas.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with hrp.net.